This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by sort of one of the original pioneers in education, sort of entrepreneurship, education technology. We're joined today by John Katzman, and he may not be a household name, but one of the companies he founded in his young 20s was the Princeton Review that later went public and I think works with, you know, maybe at one point, half of all students that were trying to take tests for college admissions and stuff like that. He's then founded a couple other companies. Most recently, he's working on a company he's been hard at work at for a long time now called Noodle. John, take a moment and introduce yourself, and then we'll ask you a number of follow-up questions about what you're doing and where you're most focused today.
Terrific. And thank you so much for having me here. So you've really said it. I've been involved at this point in higher education and ed tech for, you know, many decades. And it's a riveting space. And even with all the stuff going on campus right now, it is such a good part of the country to be involved in.
You're fascinating. And talk about what you're most focused on and excited about now. We have some higher education has been around for a very long time. It goes through ups and downs with different challenges and so forth, but at the end of the day, so many huge positives to it. Talk about what are you most focused on and excited about currently? Where are you most focused and excited?
Sure. So Noodle works with about 70 great universities to help them use technology to connect things better, connect learning and operations, keep costs down and kind of scale up. And right now we're particularly focused on the connection between higher ed and careers and helping universities connect into to job opportunities for their students and to career paths that make sense.
And talk about that, because one of the things we see with we were a generation ago, and you were able to avoid this, but my generation, I grew up in a household where I was allowed to be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. Those are my three choices. And I say that jokingly, but it was fairly true. And in some ways, that made it very easy because I knew those were my choices to start with. I could do whatever I want as long as it was one of those three things. Now, the world is so much more complicated for people in that gap. It's so much less structured. There's so many different kinds of opportunities, but with that comes a lot of uncertainty. Talk about how you sort of fill that gap between higher education and careers and so forth.
You know, it's interesting. The jobs that are most interesting in many cases are brand new, and you could not have even known that they would exist 10 years ago. AI, prompt generator, prompt engineer, what is that? The notion of a liberal arts education, the notion of just a good college education, time and time again, just proves out to be effective. Even liberal arts majors for the first 10 years after college underperform and over time outperform everybody else because the soft skills that they gain, the reasoning skills, the communication skills end up being pretty important. So I don't think it's critical to choose exactly the right path the first time. I think it's important to choose a path and then change paths as the world changes.
And that's an important message for people coming out, is that there's a lot of trial and error in figuring out what you're going to ultimately do, isn't there? I mean, there's a lot of trial and error in being willing to take some of those chances to try different things. Any thoughts on that?
So, if you have a lot of options, that indecision is fine. But let's say for a minute that you want to jump into higher ed with a clear plan to not have a lot of debt and to have a good job and give yourself kind of an entry into an industry that then you can branch off in a whole bunch of different directions in. The idea of pathways from college to career, and especially from college to the healthcare industry, is to take someone who's a little bit struggling. Maybe they're just out of community college. Maybe they're out of college, but they don't really know where they want to go, and give them a really compelling path to help us fill the nursing shortage, for instance.
And that's so important. We've got this tremendous nursing shortage, surgical tech shortage, radiology tech shortage, all these shortages within healthcare. And then also we've got tremendous shortages amongst physicians. And in some ways, one would argue an outdated education system for how we develop doctors. But how far do you start to dig into and think about those kinds of issues?
Well, I'm digging hard into the nursing shortage and then allied health behind that. Because McKinsey says it's 500,000 nurses short over the next couple of years, and there's just some new regulations. It's another 100,000 nurses that we'll need to fill them for the home staffing regulations. So if you take that problem and then you take the problem of early, like first year nurses turning over and like a third of them leave the job, which is expensive and hard, you just think there's got to be a better solution to that. We can address that shortage. We can address it with high quality, well-trained nurses and make sure that the fit is better than it is right now. So that's the particular one I'm focused on today.
And how did you get focused in this area? What brought you to this area? I mean, you've had this incredible career, started as sort of a tutor, built one of the greatest tutoring companies in the world in the history of the world. How did you get interested in healthcare?
We work with a bunch of great nursing schools and colleges, and just trying to figure out how do we add value and how do they add value, you know? So when the schools started talking about the challenges of placing their students into clinical practice, and then I started talking to the hospitals who said, yeah, we have this massive shortage and the nurses are sending us really aren't well matched to what we need them for. You know, you just keep digging and you see, boy, there's all sorts of people who have thoughtful solutions, but none of them have scaled. And they're all together kind of clunky. It's this patchwork of little solutions. You have hospitals buying nursing schools, and hospitals are pretty complex, and nursing schools are pretty complex. And when you put them together, it doesn't get less complex. And you're just thinking there's got to be a clear way that we can build an ecosystem that works. And it's the kind of problem I love to solve. It's a network problem.
Thank you. And you speak and you write a lot. Just give us a sense of some of the topics that you speak and write on. What's in your sweet spot there? And talk to us a little bit about that too, if you don't mind.
There are a lot of problems where we look at the front lines and say, well, this isn't working. And everybody's kind of blaming teachers or blaming nurses or any number of other people who happen to be there when things don't go well. And what I like to focus on is kind of a design thinking, a system solution. How do we attack this in a different way that might save us money, that might make it more fun for the different players in it, but solve the problem? And you know, in test prep, everybody was teaching people math and English, but these tests don't measure math and English. They measure a certain set of skills that is almost unique to standardized testing. You know, in taking universities online, the places that the education really suffered became really clear, and a systems approach to saying, how do we recruit students? How do we support them through the process? How do we support faculty and build something that's really good, that's as good as a campus-based experience? You know, same people, and the technology is part of the solution, but the systems are really part of the solution, are the solution.
Thank you. I mean, people and technology, I take it.
Exactly.
Take a moment, Don. I'll ask you a question. You know, the subject of standardized test, and in some ways, you might be one of the most foremost experts in the world on standardized test. Pro or con standardized test, or obviously there's more nuance to it, but what are your thoughts on it? I mean, obviously it's not the be-all and end-all, but are you a proponent, not a proponent? What are your thoughts on standardized testing?
if you think about a lot of standardized tests, they start and the, and let's hold the MCAT off to the side for a little bit, but think about things like the SAT. They start with the following assumptions. Every kid should learn the same thing. We know what that thing is, and it doesn't change from year to year. And those are all silly. Like each one of them, that can't be right. So we need standard measures. We need to know that the B plus you got in that school versus the A that somebody else got in a different school, you know, mean something. But we don't need a single test, and we don't need the mindset that everybody has to learn the same thing. So I like the idea of rigor, but I don't like the idea of standardization.
Thank you. Thank you. And so challenging, though, to hit it right. I mean, some countries seem to do it incredibly well. Some countries seem to do it more challengingly, and it seems to be all over the board. And it became very unpopular. Now it's becoming popular again. It's really all over the board on it. What a fascinating subject. Any advice for entrepreneurs? I mean, you've been a fantastic entrepreneur. I couldn't call you an accidental entrepreneur, even though you started as a tutor and ended up just founding a business, incrementally growing it and growing it to scale, but then you've done it a couple more times. So I can't really call you an accidental entrepreneur. But what advice would you give to other founders and entrepreneurs?
Well, let's take hospitals. There are a lot of people who are really thoughtful about the different components of their organization and how to make them mesh together to solve problems. But the context of your organization, let's say a hospital within the community, how you work with the universities, how you work with different populations, I think it has to be part of your thinking. You in context, your company in context, how is it perceived? Where is it needed? What are the boundaries of it? Who are the natural allies and who are the natural competitors? It's a good drinking conversation, right? It's during the day, your head's right in the middle of everything and you're doing. But after, when you're decompressing and just talking with, you know, close advisors or your team, thinking about the kind of bigger picture and where you are really opens up opportunities, I think.
John, take a moment and tell us what you've sort of accomplished over the last 6-12 months or so that you're sort of most proud of, that you're really thrilled about what you've been doing.
I've built a small team here, and we've now gotten to work with about 5 health systems, maybe 10 nursing schools. We've secured tens of millions of dollars of funding for students to enter healthcare. And we've designed the technology to make the whole thing kind of flow and the money kind of flow in ways that are really powerful, that we can recruit students in who live near the hospitals where there are shortages. We can train them with great schools, doing their clinical work at that hospital with a guaranteed job, and do it in a way that's no risk to the hospital and no risk to the student. So we're taking this whole notion of collaboration between hospitals and universities, and I think systematizing it in a way that's really powerful.
Thank you. And where can people learn more about Noodle? Where can people learn more about that?
Well, on noodle.com, but I'll tell you the approach we're taking on nursing. We're working at this point with 5 health systems, 10 nursing schools. We've secured tens of millions of dollars of funding for students to enter the healthcare profession, and that's just in the past year. I think what we're doing is pretty exciting and potentially very, very scalable.
It's really amazing what you're doing now and how critical a problem you're trying to solve. Your professional entrepreneurial career has been unrivaled, just really amazing, particularly in the education space, just amazing. John, I want to thank you for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.